Amen. I'm the nut. I don't know who the bolts are, but I'm the nut. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just say something before I get started here, and that is I hope that my transparency yesterday in the morning was not a hindrance to you, but a help. I fear what might happen if my church hears that, Anyway, you know, that was something that happened a year and a half ago, and by God's grace, God kept me in the fight, amen? And I would encourage you that if you feel like what I felt like yesterday, don't despair. God's still in control, and he's working with unfinished product, and he will continue to work in you, amen? I like the one verse that says, a living dog is better than a dead lion, amen? And praise the Lord for that. So if you still got some bark in you, keep going. Amen. Amen. Listen, let me just have you turn to a portion of Scripture, if you would, just for a moment. Solomon, book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I am very grateful for this church and all that they do for us as preachers. It's been such a blessing to be in this meeting and this ministry, and I thank God for Pastor Saul and all that he's doing with his staff. Look with me, if you would, just one verse here, and then we'll look at a couple more. But Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse number 2, says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Father, thank you for your word. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would please do a work. Help me to be a help, to be an encouragement to these men, to their ministries, to their marriage, to their family. Lord, I'm very grateful to be in the presence of your men. And Lord, I'm humbled to be standing here before them. Lord, I know that I am totally unable to do anything here, but Lord, I know you are. So, Lord, we submit to you this morning and ask that your Holy Spirit would please speak to our hearts and help those that need the most help this morning. And, Father, for those that might need this down the road, Lord, that you would help them to tuck it away and use it when needed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To give you a little bit of a history about me, just very briefly, I was married very young. Got married. I just turned 20 when I got married. We've been married 40 years. I just turned 60. You can do the math. You know, when I was first married, I was raised Roman Catholic. I was raised in a home where my dad was gone a lot, where my mom was stuck home a lot. And as the youngest child, I was usually there with her as a young boy. And, you know, you grow up and you see things like that. And I didn't know how to be really the kind of dad or husband that I should have been when I first got married. And like I said, I was lost. My wife was lost. But we got married. She was 19. I was 20. And I'll just be honest with you. I was a typical lost man. I was very selfish. I was very self-centered. I was very self-serving. Like my dad, I turned into a drunk. I was an educated drunk you know, spent a lot of time across the street from where I worked at Eastman Kodak, doing a lot of drinking and hanging out with the guys. I was a very neglectful husband. We had a son, my son, who is now 38, you know, when we were married just 2 years, Tim came along. And what a blessing he has been to us. But, you know, I was trying to be a good dad as much as I knew how to, but I was pretty neglectful as far as my job and role as a husband. I left my wife home alone a lot. And, you know, I'd be out with the guys, and I'd close the bars down at 2 o'clock and then make my way home following the double yellow lines, you know, to the best of my ability. It's amazing I never killed anybody. I'm thank God that I never did because of that lifestyle. And, you know, I'd wake up the next morning and I'd start all over again. And that was my life. I would leave my wife, my wife home alone I was a lousy husband, and didn't do very much to be a help, and I was headed for divorce. And my wife probably would have been right just to dump me, but she got saved. And when she got saved, 9 months later, of course, I didn't like it when she got saved, and I made her life a living hell for about 9 or 10 months. And then the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, and she would show me things, and she'd say, "Honey, come and look at this verse of Scripture," and I'd come and look at it. And then when I'd look at that, I'd walk away and say, "That's fine for you. I don't need that. I was raised Catholic. You were a heathen," because she was. She grew up in an atheist home. She was. I mean, I didn't consider myself. I thought I was all right. And, she found the Lord, and the Lord found her, and God changed her. And I remember walking away from her and seeing, the verses in the Word of God. And then as I walked away, the conviction of that word penetrated deep into my heart. But I would never admit it. I was too prideful to do that. And, I saw, though, God magnificently changed my wife. And because she got saved, I got saved. And God transformed her, and God transformed me. And what you're seeing before you now is nothing like what I was because of my lost condition. And, God salvaged my life, salvaged my wife's life, and salvaged our marriage, and salvaged our family. And what we have today has nothing to do with her or me. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. And, I want to say to you this morning that sometimes, we can be preachers and be in the ministry. And I've seen this, and you probably have seen it, and maybe there's some in here. I don't know. God woke me up at 4 o'clock this morning and changed everything for whatever reason, and I don't question that. I just say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to submit to that." So I'm not totally prepared on what I should be saying to you, except I know this is what God wants me to speak to you about. And so I'm going to be honest with you here this morning, just give you the things that I've written down here and hope it'll be a help. But as preachers, we preach on marriage. And we preach on, to our folks about the kind of marriage that they should have and the godly marriage and the relationship between Christ and the church and the husband and the bride, and making all those relations. And we preach those sermons and we use those verses. And a lot of times, and I've seen this personally in preachers, and I haven't seen it here, so you don't have to feel, "Oh, does he know about me?" I don't. But I've seen it. I've seen guys who got out of the ministry who I never had a clue that they were having marriage problems. You could see little things, but you couldn't put your finger on it. And, I had someone that I knew I've heard him preach on the home. I've heard him preach on marriage. I've heard him preach on the responsibilities of a husband. And then, I would see after the fact that what was being said was not what was being lived. And, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm really not. I'm trying to be helpful because maybe there's someone here this morning that's, you're in some difficult straits in your marriage. And you'll never have a good ministry if you don't have a good marriage. And you'll play a game, and you'll put up a front, and you'll have this facade before your people that you're pastoring. But the sad part is, if you don't fix that thing and submit that thing to God and allow God to make the transformation in you too, you may destroy not only your marriage, but you may destroy many marriages within the confines of the assembly that you pastor. Because they will be hurt when they see, "Well, what a hypocrite my pastor is," when the reality of all that comes out. Verse 2 says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Look at chapter 2, verse number 2. "As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Chapter 4, verse number 7. 4:7, "Thou art fair, all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee." Look at verse 10, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices." Look at chapter 6, verse 4. "Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners." Look at chapter 7. Verse number 6, How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delights. Look at chapter 8, verse number 7. 8:7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 13. Go back again. Chapter 1. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Chapter 88 of Psalms, listen to this, don't turn there. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Job 19:15, they that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. There's two different aspects of this. One is this very intimate, loving relationship, and the other one is a very aloof relationship that we just read in Psalm 88 and in Job chapter 19. You know, we look at the finances of our country today, maybe even the finances of your church, and you're seeing there's some sickness there, there's some problems there, there's some issues there, there's some things going on within the economy. And, you know, you might have some sickness and some very critical things going on in your marriage that needs some correction, needs some looking to, needs some insight from the Holy Spirit of God. Your relationship with your wife, gentlemen, may not be exactly what you portray it to be to everyone else. Nobody maybe knows that except for you and your wife. Nobody knows the heartache that may be going on within your home. The sadness in the reality of the fact that your marriage is really not what it should be. Your marriage may be very sick this morning. It may need some help this morning. It may need some encouragement this morning. But it may, and you know, we talk about, you know, like was said earlier, I'm trying to fix my wife. Don't try to fix your wife. Just fix you. Amen. You know, I've had to learn from the Word of God and learn how Jesus Christ treats me. And how he has treated me and how he says he will treat me to learn how I should treat my wife. You do not know how to do it. I do not know how to do it. That's why we said yesterday, we need to ask God for wisdom. What kind of a husband am I supposed to be and how am I supposed to take care of my bride? You know, you need to stop and ask yourself first and foremost. I said yesterday, last night about, you know, I don't have much to work with. And, you know, I commented to my wife, this morning, and I said, I look all right, you know, my tie, she's always doing this and fixing my hair, you know, it's like having my mother around sometimes, you know, because I got this cowlick back here, and she's always trying to make it lay down, and my mother did that as a young child, and now as an old man, my wife, my second mother is doing that for me, you know, I said, I look all right, you know, tie on, you know, I miss anything, shaving, you know, just this much, you know, and I said, well, remember, I don't have much to work with. She says, yeah, but what you're working with is pretty good, and I like it. And that just kind of make me melt a little bit, you know. I want to tell you that I've been married for 40 years, and it's only because of God's grace and his mercy and his kindness and his love and his example and his instruction from the Word of God. So I don't stand before you as some kind of a judge. I don't stand you as like I have done it, because I've known guys who have had midlife crisis situations and found somebody else in their 50s and 60s and so on. And so I'm not suggesting by any stretch of the imagination that everything's 100%. But it's pretty good in my home, and it's pretty good because of Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you a question first and foremost here right now, and that is your heart totally given to your wife? Is there something or someone that maybe just kind of catches your eye or that you have begun? Let me just say to you, be very careful, gentlemen, with the finances, and be very careful with women. And I know you young guys in here, older ones probably are well aware of this, but you're just as vulnerable as I am. All flesh is grass. But young guys, you know, they think they know how to handle things. And don't ever allow yourself to get into a room alone with a woman. I don't care how much counseling she needs and how much private counseling she demands of you, don't ever do it. I have a rule. that I have, and that is I meet with a woman with my wife for the very first time, and then from there I try to get my wife to help her and through me. I'm not going to sit in counsel and have a woman become dependent upon me, you know, while she blubbers and cries and boo-hoos. And, you know, look at, let me just say something to you, and you know this. You're in a position of authority. And because you're in a position of authority, women gravitate to that. And you have to be careful. Brother Drummond has always had, when he's a pastor now, but when he was an evangelist, he didn't go anywhere without his wife. That's wise. Brother Gipp goes everywhere with his wife. I like watching these guys. They hold their wife's hands as they walk, and they're old. But Brother Drummond had a policy as an evangelist that he wouldn't go and stay in a hotel somewhere alone. Somebody invited him to come and preach. I think you came to my house one time and you stayed at my home. That's just wisdom. And you have to be careful because, you know, you're going to have your eye and your heart pulled away and you won't even know what's happening to you. And before you know it, you're going to find yourself in a situation. You're going to say, how in the world did I get here? You got there one step at a time. You got there by lowering your guard. You got there by not doing things properly. And you got there by taking your eyes off of your own lover, your wife. If you're married here today, you ought to thank God for your wife, and she ought to be the greatest lady in the world to you. Amen. She ought to be your number one. She ought to have all your affection, all your love, all your concern. She ought to be everything. Don't, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side type of mentality. But your marriage, your relationship with your wife should be your number one priority. You say, well, other than the Lord, you understand what I'm saying. You know, the Lord and your relationship with him is first. And if you have that, and then next should be your wife. It should. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you may disagree with me on this, and that's all right. You know, you've been wrong before. But if you don't have a good marriage, you're going to have a lousy ministry. And your ministry is not more important than the ministry that you have at home with your wife and with your children. If you listen, I've seen pastors where their kids, you know, and they're preaching on the home and they're preaching on marriage and they're preaching on family and they're preaching on how to, you know, raise children, and their own kids go astray. Why? Because they invested in everybody else and they let their own garden go weedy. And you better work on your own home, and you better work on making sure that your marriage and your relationship with your bride is as close as it can possibly get, and then more so. And you ought to just work on that thing. You know, you can talk about, you know, as we get older, you know, my wife was telling me, look at the lines I'm getting. She says, I need a facelift. I said, grow a beard. You know, it kind of covers up a lot of that stuff. Amen. That's what I told her. I grow a beard. It'll help. You know, she complains about how I poke her. You know, maybe it's her turn to get even. I don't know. How's your home doing? I mean, seriously. Right now in your own heart, just answer that question. How is my home doing? How is my marriage doing? Here you are at a pastor's meeting. Here you are with a bunch of God's men, and you're getting instructed by, you know, and being helped by all these guys. And, you know, you may need some help in the home front, and you are blind to that. Your marriage, your home could be in dire straits this morning, and you could sit here with a smile on your face, and everything's okay. And you stand in your pulpit, and you're the cheerleader in your pulpit, and you rah-rah, cheer-cheer, but you got problems that you're afraid to admit and be transparent to the Lord about or to yourself about. And your marriage, if it's sick and it needs some reviving, gentlemen, you could go home with that and begin to work on your marriage, and it'll help your ministry. Because you and I, we're the example to our flock. Your wife is an example to those ladies. And if she's not happy, if she's hurt, if she's, you know, becoming bitter because she has been put somewhere down the road in your priority list, and the kids are not on the priority list, and yet you go out and you invest yourself in other families and marriages and children and teenagers, and you're working through all those individuals in your church, and I understand you want to be a help, so do I, but if your wife sees that and you neglect her, and your kids see that and you neglect them, they're going to get bitter. And then you might find that your wife will say to you, I'm out of this thing because I'm tired of playing second, third, fourth fiddle to everybody else in the church. Does that make it right? No. Does it make it reality? Yes. Do you understand? I understand. I've seen it so many times. We need to learn some guidelines that God has in his word, and we see the relationship that Jesus Christ had with the church, and we need to see how Christ treated the church. And you've preached it, and I've preached it. You know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it and sacrificing. I understand all that, but we can know that and not apply that. Is this making any sense to you? I was just at a meeting a little while ago, and a very famous preacher in our country stood in the pulpit and explained with his wife there, and explained how years ago he was kind of aloof. And he said when problems arose and she would want to talk to him about things that she was sensing, that woman's an emotional being. You understand that. And you're very factual, and you know, you're just black and white and that's it. But she's driven by her emotions. And she was saying in the pulpit how she was fearful to even approach him about things because he would get angry. You know, my dad showed me something in a newspaper, and I was a lost man. It said this: if a man's wrong and he won't admit it, he gets angry. If a man's wrong and he won't admit it, he gets angry because it's a defense mechanism. Amen? And this man, this very famous preacher, was very transparent. I won't give you his name. It doesn't matter. He didn't say anything that I couldn't repeat, but he mentioned that how he would handle things when issues in the home didn't go well is he'd just get in his car and go for a ride. And what do you think that did to her? It just caused her to stew some more and get more upset. And why is he avoiding this? And, you know, in this very transparent meeting in the pulpit that took place, she said that. He asked her, he says, and why didn't I respond? Why didn't I do this? She said, and you know, why didn't you approach me? Why didn't you say anything to me? She says, I was afraid you'd get angry. And you know, you stop and think about what our wives go through being married to you and me, you know, married to preachers. You're not easy to live with. I'm not easy to live with. And you carry all these burdens, everybody else's burden, and we push our wives and our children's burden off into a corner somewhere. And we'll deal with that later. We'll handle that later. If you don't work, gentlemen, on making that marriage the best marriage, if you don't work on your mindset saying that my wife is the most important person on this earth to me, investing yourself in loving your wife and caring for your wife and ministering to your wife and investing in your wife and that family that God has given to you, you may end up losing what you've got. Is your marriage a blessing? Does your wife look at your marriage as a blessing? Does she look at the ministry as a blessing? You need to improve your marriage, even as well as it may be going. There's room for improvement. I've got a good marriage. Honestly, we are very open. We're very honest with each other. We can sit and talk to each other. And most of the time, I don't have to say anything. She can read me like a book. My wife can look at me across the room, and she knows exactly what I'm thinking. And, you know, I can do the same with her. I can tell by her countenance where she's at. You ever see that picture, you know, where the dogs start looking like their master? That's why I told my wife to grow a beard. There's some things that you can do to transform your marriage and make it better than what it is. Turn to Psalm 109, if you would. I'm not going to show you this verse because the Lord just said, stop it. So I will. Because I don't want to hurt anybody, but your marriage can be a blessing or it can be a curse. And a lot of times we bring, as men, we bring the curse into our home by the spirit that we have. We've been hurt by people. We're carrying all this burden of the ministry and burdens that people in your church have. And we come home with those burdens and those hurts and that sorrow and that sadness. And we're not much of a comfort to our wives. We're not much of a help to our wives. And your marriage can be a curse or it can be a blessing. And God is the one that makes that happen. But it starts with you. Just like, the clay had to submit to the potter before it could be reworked. And if we're not willing to submit to God and say, God, I do have some areas of my life that need reshaping. There's some things in my life that I'm doing in my marriage that's not helping my marriage. All I'm asking you this morning is, are you willing to look at yourself, to examine your marriage, to examine your home for what it really is? If somebody else was the pastor and was looking at your home, what would they say to you? Say, oh, I'm a pastor and, I've got a position of authority and, I've got all these responsibilities. Yes, I understand. Don't we all? But your greatest responsibility is that woman and that home that you got. Amen. I've heard men stand in a pulpit and just castigate their wives while they're sitting in the auditorium, listening. And, it's funny. It's a joke. It's not funny to them. Amen. They become the focal point of the idiot. I've heard preachers, preach, like I said a moment ago, and then I've sat down across the dinner table with them and their wives where it was like this. And the words were hurtful. And I saw wives just clam up and shut their mouths because they're tired of being hurt and they just don't say anything anymore. And I don't know what's going on with your marriage. I really don't. I would have much rather preached something or taught something else, honestly, but I couldn't get away from this morning. So maybe there's something that needs to change in your marriage. Your words have become harsh. Your words are critical. Your words are insulting. Your words are demeaning. Your words are bringing tears to her pillow at night when you don't see it. And it's causing such hurt in her because she doesn't know what to do anymore, how to change you. And so she's giving you totally to the Lord. She's trying to be perhaps, and you say, well, preacher, you don't know my wife. My wife, blah, blah, blah. Well, I know how the Lord Jesus Christ is to me. Amen. And I'm not very good to him. But yet he still loves me unconditionally. Amen. He still cares for me with all my flaws. He said, well, my wife. Yeah. Look in the mirror, gentlemen. If you're constantly cutting down instead of building up your wife, we're supposed to edify. The Bible talks about edifying the saints. She's one of the saints. Building her up. Instead of constantly telling her everything that's wrong and nagging at her just like a woman would. You need to speak well of your wife. You need to respond rightly with right kind of words, with words that are good and pleasant words, not harsh and critical and insulting. You know, James 3 warns us about that mouth. How can you be blessing and cursing out of the same? How can that happen? But yet we stand in the pulpit and we are eloquent and we can say all these things and we're so helpful to everybody else. And then we're so demeaning and hurtful and harsh to our own families. Do you really appreciate your wife? Listen, let me just bring it right down to some nitty-gritty. Do you appreciate your wife? Are you thankful for your wife? She's my helpmate. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I couldn't manage without her. I couldn't make it. I'm just being honest with you. If my wife were to pass away, I'd be done. Honestly. We are so yoked together, just like Christ in the church. We are so yoked together. We are one. We think the same way. We like the same things. We've grown closer over the years, not further apart. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? As we're saved, aren't we supposed to be, Brother Gip, aren't we supposed to be closer to our wives now than we were when we married them all those years ago? Same way as with our salvation and our walk with the Lord, it's the same way in our marriage. You know, Romans chapter 14, look at Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 19. Romans 14, 19. The Bible says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. We want to edify the church and build up the church. We need to edify our homes. We need to edify our wives. We need to encourage our kids. You know, especially preachers' kids, and this is kind of off the point, but preachers' kids, they see the hurt that you go through. They see the hurt that mom goes through, and they see the things that people say and hear the things people say and see the things people do, you know, to the preacher and to his family. And your kids can get bitter about that. You know what? If those kids see you as the husband doing the same kind of thing to their mom, you're gonna be just as debilitating to those kids as you would be to your wife. Do the things that edify one another. Romans, look at the next chapter, chapter 15. Look at verse number 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, for edification. We're supposed to be building up our wives, establishing them, helping them, encouraging them. You say, my wife has got some issues. So do you. See, we got flaws, we got shortcomings, we got areas of our life that we fail miserably in that need tremendous improvement. And she does too. Can I just ask you a real serious question and answer it in your heart honestly? Do you pray for your wife? Do you pray for your wife? I mean, do you bring her before the throne of grace and ask God to help her to be the kind of helpmeet she should be to you, to be the kind of Christian lady she should be, to be the kind of mom that she should be? To love Christ with all her heart, not you first, but him. I told my wife, don't you ever love me more than you love Jesus Christ. That's just the way we think in our home. God's first. And if you, the Bible says there in Matthew 6, if you seek God first, if you put him first, he puts all that other stuff and adds it in your plate, doesn't he? So if we want our marriages, then we've got to have that relationship, and my wife has got to have that kind of a relationship with the Lord. I hope this is making some kind of sense to you. We are so good at cutting down. We're so good at showing and finding fault and bringing the faults out. But we fail miserably in telling them, you know what, you look beautiful this morning. I was in the shower this morning, you know, getting ready 10 minutes before we left. She was all dressed, you know. And I just let her do her thing and, you know, get out of the way. You know, she's ready, you know, because it doesn't take me that long. You can tell. But as I got out of the shower, I just said, boy, it smells good out there. I don't know what she had on, but it smelled good. I almost wanted to avoid the meeting this morning. And I came out and I says, honey, you look absolutely beautiful. I don't care if you think she's beautiful. I do. And I said this to her. I says, I hope you're doing this for me. And she looked at me with that twinkle in her eye and she said, always and only for you. My wife and I have a relationship that God has made over the years and increased over the years. And I really don't want to belabor the point, but this was all I wanted to bring to you was this morning to look at your marriage. Take your, you know, this is a pastor's school. These are, you know, these are all sessions to help pastors. But would you please, while you're away from your church, would you take a few moments and pray with your wife? Would you take a few moments and just spend time with your wife and get back maybe some of the things that have been lost over the years? Maybe just be a little bit honest and transparent with your wife and say, you know, honey, I know I haven't been what I should be. And I know I've neglected you in some areas. And I'm willing to start fresh. I'm willing to change some things in my life. How do you think she would respond to that? Now, probably 90% or 95% or 99% of the marriages in this room are great. There's a lot of older men in here. And maybe, you know, you have and enjoy a great marriage and praise the Lord. But maybe you don't. And there's a lot of young men in here that have just been married a short time and you're just new in the ministry and you're pouring your heart into that ministry. Praise the Lord. But you better put as much or more into your marriage and into your home than you put into that ministry. Because if you don't have a good marriage, you will have a lousy ministry. And eventually, and you may be able to skate by for a while, but eventually it's all going to come down around your ears. It's going to collapse around you. And I'm just cautioning you this morning to look inward first. Now, don't come here looking, oh, some new idea, some new thing, some, you know, what are you doing? How do you do it? And, you know, maybe I should try that. I suggest to you this morning, why don't you just start in the home? Why don't you just start in your marriage? Why don't you just be the kind of an example to your flock that Christ is to you and me? Why don't you be the man and quit you like a man and do something for the glory of God in your home? Does this help you at all? Would you just consider this morning what's happening in your marriage? Father, sometimes we get so busy spending time for others that we don't spend time with our wives. And Lord, I know, and I never said this to these guys, but Lord, that Monday that is usually the preacher's day off, Lord, I don't want to go to a meeting. I don't want to be in a fellowship meeting. Lord, I want to be with my wife. And I want to spend time with her and devote myself totally to her. But not just on Monday. Lord, I want her to know that I'm available 24/7 for her. Spending time with her, hearing her thoughts, listening to her ideas, helping her in her spiritual walk. Investing myself in my family. Lord, I got grandkids now. My kids are all gone. They're all out on their own. But Lord, I got those grandkids now. And Lord, I want to see them. I want to invest in them. Lord, I didn't invest that great even as a dad in my own kids. But I'm thankful that my wife years ago said, honey, your son needs you. Your daughters need you. And Lord, I'm thankful that she was open and honest with me and told me the truth, and I could make the changes that needed to be made because I couldn't see them. And Lord, maybe there's some guys here today, they can't see what's really happening. And maybe their wife is afraid to approach them because they get angry, or they shut up, or they leave, and they go for a ride in a car, or they stew, and they give her the silent treatment for days on end because of it. And Father, maybe that's happening the other way as well. But Father, you can change and transform things because you said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And old things pass away, and all, behold, all things become new. Lord, you can make this into a new marriage, like Brother DeMichael said. It may have some cracks and some flaws and some dry spots in the clay. But Lord, you can fix that because you're the one that does it. And you can make it better than ever before. And Father, I ask you to help these men. Yes, to be men of God, but to be the leaders in their home and the lovers in their home and spend time with their wives and their kids and not just invest themselves in everybody else and neglect them at home. Father, please encourage these guys today. Help them to go home, Lord, with a different desire, a different attitude about their ministries and about their marriage. And may you get the glory in and through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.